That's what says Adam prayer to prepare our hearts. Amen. In the name of Jesus, commence with our family altar. Let's sing hymn 24. 24. In the name of Jesus, I speak. We give thanks to our Lord. This night, tonight, we will discuss Psalms number 119. We discuss Psalms number 119. This Psalms number 119 is known as the Torah Psalm. It is known as the Torah Psalm. We do not know who wrote this psalm. Although the author refers to himself many times, but we do not know who actually wrote these psalms. Here, we can see that the author, he was an Israelite of exemplary piety. And then probably it is post-exilic. That is to say, after the captivity exile, possibly the return, after the return post-exilic. And then it is very possible that he was a priest. It is very possible he's a priest. Let's see verse 23. Verse 23. Many part he spoke about he is the servant. Verse 23, your servant. Your servant. Many part speak about he is the servant. And then if we see verse 57. Verse 57. The Lord is my portion. He says that the Lord is my portion. We understand very clearly how the priests, they are not given any inheritance in the promised land. God was their inheritance, their portion. So very possibly, he was a priest. And then we are able to see here also speak about princess. Verse 23. Speak about princess. And then also he spoke before kings. Let's see verse 46. 46. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings. As such, we are able to see the author mentioned speaking before kings and then also the princess. Therefore, then very possibly he hold some official position. Possibly a priest. And the priest, his function is to teach God's law. Especially, we can see in Malachi. Malachi chapter 2 verse 7. Malachi chapter 2 verse 7. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. So the priest, his function is to teach God's law. So very possibly, he was a priest. And then we are able to see that the author, he was passionately devoted to the word of God as the word of life. And then we can see he also humbly acknowledged, that is to say, some error ways in his life. Some error ways in his life. We can also see verse 176. 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. So very possibly, of course, he was a priest. And it was the period of post-exilic. At the time, we can see because of the sin of the people, they were taken captive. Also, because of the weakness of the political leaders, the religious leaders, we can see they deteriorate religiously, politically, morally. So as they return, as they continue to serve, so it picture to us just like a sheep that is lost. So we can see that the author, he humbly acknowledged, nevertheless, his errant ways of his heart. Even though we are able to see how devoted he was to the words of God, to the law of God. But then on and on, there are weaknesses in him. So he seek to be brought back to the heavenly shepherd. And then we are also able to see, he also, the author knows the pain, but also the fruits of God's corrective discipline. God's corrective discipline. Like verse 67. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So he was afflicted. But before that, he went astray. So now he keep God's word. Verse 71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgment are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Afflicted me. So here we can see, he knew the pain, but also the fruits of God's corrective discipline. And then, we can see that the author many times refer to how he was suffering for his love for God's law. Of course, he determined to obey regardless of the cost. So he had suffered much at the hands of those who arrogantly disregarded God's word and make him the target of their hostility. ridicule and slander. We can see this abundantly as we go through these Psalms. And then here, we are able to see so these Psalms, it is a Torah Psalm. It is also an instructional wisdom Psalm. We can see the devotional to the Word of God. Devotional to the Word of God. All the Psalm, most likely, of all the Psalm, most likely, this one have been composed originally in writing and intended to be read rather than to be sung or recited. But of course, later it was also sung and recited. But possibly originally it was written intended to be read. And then most of the lines are addressed to God, mingling with prayers with profession of devotion to God's law. So it was intended for godly instruction. It was included in the Psalter, no doubt, as a model of piety. So the very important theme, we can see the devotion to the Word of God and also the God of the Word. So we can see this very important theme, the devotion to the Word of God and also the God of the Word. So just now we can see that is to say, in every line, we can see that is to say, it was addressed to God, mingling with prayers and profession of devotion to God's law. The author here highlight two aspects of that word. Firstly, the Word of God directs. It is God's directive for life. Of course, calling for obedience. And then secondly, we can see God's promises. It is calling for faith to believe. So here, the author highlight two aspects of the word. God's directive for life, calling for obedience to His word that direct our life. And then God's promises, calling for faith to believe. And then here we can see the author, he make use of eight Hebrew terms supplied to him by the Old Testament tradition. For example, he spoke about the law, or the Torah, the law. The law means instruction, covenant instruction. And then we can see testimonies. Testimonies are what God solemnly testified to be His will, testifying of God's character. And then we can also see precepts. Precept is what God has appointed to be done, to direct or conduct. And then we can see command or commandments. That is to say, what God has commanded. He also used this term, judgments or rules. What the divine judge has ruled to be right. It is a judicial pronouncement. And then we can also see decrees, statutes or ordinances. What the divine lawgiver has laid down. God as legislator. And then we can see the Hebrew daba or imra, the word that is to say what God has spoken. Of course, this also includes the promises. So we can see the author make use of all these terms. And then this psalm, it is acrostic poem. It is acrostic poem. That is to say, following the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The psalm consists of 22 sections. That is to say, so the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22. So this is acrostic poem, following the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The psalm consists of 22 sections or stanza, with 8 verses for each section of stanza. So each section of stanza will make use of the one of the Hebrew alphabet. And then in that section, in that 8 verses, the beginning of every verse will begin with that Hebrew alphabet. So this is Torah Psalms. Here we can see very important the Word of God. Why we should value Word of God and how we should value Word of God. Why? Why we should value Word of God? Oh, because of what it is. It is from God. It portrays the character of God. And then, because of what it does, the Word of God is so wonderful, so beautiful. It has its function, purpose, just like what we have discussed in Psalms number 19. So, why should we value Word of God? Because of what it is, because of what it does. And then, how we should value the Word of God? We should study it, obey it, declare it, rejoice over it. Now, we will just go through the first part, the first alphabet. Let us see from verses 1 to 8. Verses 1 to 8. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained your precepts, that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. So in this first part of the alphabet, in this first stanza, we can see blessings of obedience to the Word of God. Blessings of obedience to the Word of God. So we can see, if obey, there'll be blessing. Let's see verses 1 to 3. So verses 1 to 3 is a general introduction. General introduction. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the way of the Lord. So how are they blameless? In that they walk in the law of the Lord. They obey. And then how blessed are those who observe His testimonies. So in the law just now we say, it is instruction, it is covenant instruction. So blessed are those covenant people who walk in the covenant instruction. And then verse 2, how blessed are those who observe His testimonies. So testimonies are what God solemnly testified to be His will, testimony of His character. So blessed are those who observe this, who want to walk in the ways of the Lord. So here say, who seek Him with all their heart, with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. And then they also do no unrighteousness, because this is the character of God. This is the will of the Lord. So they also do no unrighteousness, and they walk in His ways, as reflected in the testimonies. Testimony also is a testimony of His character. So here we can see the introduction. Blessed are those who obey, who walk in the law of the Lord, who walk in His ways according to God's will, God's character. And then let's see verses 4 to 8. Verses 4 to 8, we can see those who obey God's law, they can hope for God's help. So they will be blessed. We can see those who obey God's law. Let's see verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5. You have ordained your precepts. So what is precept? We have mentioned what God has appointed to be done. All these are precept to direct conduct. So God has appointed what to be done. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. And then verse 5. All that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. So the statute or the decree ordinances, what the divine lawgiver has laid down, God as legislator. So blessed are those that is to say, who keep what God has appointed to be done, to direct conduct, and then also what the divine lawgiver has laid down, God as legislator. And then verse 8, I shall keep your statutes, I shall keep your statutes. So the statutes are the decree ordinances, what the divine lawgiver has laid down, God as legislators. And then also the statutes. So here we can see calling to obey God's law. And then those who obey, they can hope for God's help. So verses 6 to 8. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon your commandments. So the commandments, what God has commanded. So he will not be ashamed. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgment. So the judgment, the righteous judgment, the rules, what the divine judge has ruled to be right, all those judicial pronouncements. So what the divine judge has ruled to be right, so he will learn the righteous judgment of the Lord. I shall keep the statutes of the Lord. So the Lord will not forsake him. Do not forsake me utterly. That is to say, how he will not be given over to the enemies. Just now we have mentioned that is the author. He had suffered much at the hands of those who arrogantly disregard God's word and make him the target of their hostility, ridicule, and slander. So he prayed that the Lord will not forsake him so that he can overcome all this. Those people who arrogantly disregard God's word and make him the target of their hostility, ridicule, and slander. They wanted to harm him. But no matter what, we are able to see, yet he determined to obey regardless of the cost. So here we are able to see that is the blessing of obedience to those who obey, who walk in the word of the Lord. So today, we give thanks to the Lord. God's word is very precious, important. God's word, it is what it is, and because of what it does. So today we should study it, obey it, declare it, rejoice over it. We give thanks to our Lord. We will now pray together. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Kata 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 k Let us recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We give thanks to our Lord. Our family altar ends here. May all peace, grace, mercy be upon everyone. Amen.